kadisati, this circumspection, to be circumspect, to see things, yeah, that are obvious to others. But because we don't have sati, we don't see it. But people who have sati, you know, see these things. And then we think they have yam. But they say, all what they have is sati. They have more sati than we.
What is
yam? Yeah, now knowing what the other person is thinking. Something like that, isn't it?
Knowing.
I mean, one just knows, you know, what is going on. And that's the power of sati, it makes everything so clear. How can you not see it? Richard, huh?
You were asking about practice, but nobody said anything, so I have a question. The timing, okay. It gets easier, like before, 1 hour is difficult, now, it's... But I know that my sati is not there all the time. Sometimes it does go up, but still, time is kind of like it rolls by, you know, 1 hour. Before it was difficult, before I'm like, oh, you know. But now it's easier. But the sati is not cold. It's not there all the time. Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
But the timing is easier. I mean, oh, da-da-da.
Yeah, as long as your mind goes da-da-da. If the mind goes da-da-da, that's not good. I mean, that's an improvement.
Yes, but it's not there all the time.
That's an improvement. A person who thinks he has sati all the time, you know, he has no sati. A person who thinks he's so unmindful is a person who has sati. I mean, I often say it, you know, people think, I'm so mindful, you know, I'm mindful all the day when I'm sweeping, I'm so mindful. These people are not really... have not the sati, have not the awareness. The moment you cross the threshold of having more than 50% time of sati, then you suddenly notice, I'm unmindful. Huh? That means, you have gone up a step. Mindfulness is increasing. But you will see, you know, when you're in Bangkok, it will all slip away. Slow by slow, bit by bit, it will slip away. Because it's not, you cannot keep it up like that. I mean, you have to have a certain environment that provides some nourishment for the citta as well. And Bangkok is certainly not the environment. I mean, even your condo is not the environment. I mean, it's good. But, you know, I mean, if you stay for yourself, you know, but, I mean, just think about it, you know, I mean, you're in the water, you know, whoever pisses in the water, I mean, you will know. So, I mean, when you meditate, all the people around what they're doing, you will know, and you will be disturbed by their energy. I mean, their thought energy, their emotional energy, their feeling energy, everything. How can you not be disturbed? That's why we have to go into secluded places, you know, where not people. I mean, otherwise, the Lord Buddha, why did he say? I mean, look at the forest there, look at the, you know, hills there, look at the caves there. I mean, that's where people attain enlightenment. So, I mean, it's good that you have, you know, that your sati increased and the things, you know, the time flies by, and it's also an indication that your sati has increased. And now the next time, you know, when you're here, I mean, we have to start doing some investigation. Because as long as you have sati, you will know. But without developing wisdom, I mean, you will be stuck in this world. And now we come again back to the same question. What is the reason why I do practice? Why am I practicing? Why did I come, you know? Why did I take up this, you know, in the sense of the of the world. Why do I get myself into a prison of these 227 rules? Why do I, you know, why do I eat only one time a day, you know, and do you know, live quite a harsh life? Why do we do it? I mean, we didn't need to do it, you know, if we didn't want to get rid of dukkha. Because we want to get rid of dukkha, that makes us discomfort, makes us uneasy. That's the reason. Anything, you know, that makes us agitated, that makes us irritated, that makes us uneasy, that is boredom, that is whatever, it's dukkha. Oh, then it's pain, oh, it's suffering. This is all dukkha. It's all the First Noble Truth. And we have it. Don't think you don't have it. The Lord Buddha said, you know, and now listen very carefully. A human person, a chitta in a human life, at most, can he have 50% of the time sukha and 50% time of dukkha. So, I mean, we have dukkha. But the problem is we don't see dukkha. And that's why we don't practice enough. Because we don't see dukkha, I mean, we feel, you know, it's so comfortable, everything is so comfortable. I mean, what's the reason for us to practice? If you don't understand the truth of dukkha, that we constantly, I mean, every second moment, every one moment, you know, when we are perfect human beings, you know, we have sukha, and the next moment we have dukkha. And then we have sukha, and then we have dukkha. But because we are attached to the sukha, I mean, that's why we think, my life is so perfect. We don't see the dukkha. But most of the human beings don't have 50%. Of sukha and 50% of dukkha. That is the utmost that a person can reach, this utmost, when it is in a human life. Most of us just have 5% of sukha and 95% of dukkha. But we don't see it as dukkha. We don't understand what dukkha is. We think only dukkha is only pain and suffering and really bad feelings. That's why we can't see anything. Any kind of fear is dukkha. Any kind of agitation is dukkha. Any kind of boredom is dukkha. What shall I do now? You know, where does that come from? Dukkha. I mean, all our actions are influenced by dukkha. We don't see it because we call it greed, hate, or fear, you know, or whatever. We just want to make sure that we can eat something tomorrow. What is it? What does it boil down to? The fear that we don't have anything to eat tomorrow. And fear, is that a pleasant feeling? Ask yourself. Is fear a pleasant feeling? The fear, you know, of not getting what one wants to get? The fear, you know, that tomorrow something terrible happens? Or the fear that the next moment when we see a snake that something terrible happens? Is that sukha? Is that a pleasant feeling or is it an unpleasant feeling? I mean, be clear in your mind about what is happening right now. And you will see all this dukkha. You just need to say something. You just need to be criticized and dukkha comes instantly up. Oh, something happens like that. You know, a snake, you know, passes by. Oh, yeah. Is it a pleasant feeling or is it an unpleasant feeling? Ask yourself, you know, if we would have sati enough, you know, I mean, we would see all these unpleasant moments we have during the day. How can we not see them? I mean, we only don't see them because we have dark glasses on, you know. Glasses, you know, that are completely, you know, darkened by the kilesa. So that's why we have to develop sati, you know, in order to see it. Once we see all this dukkha, I mean, who wants to live in this world? I mean, we just think that we have, you know, it's so pleasant, you know, I mean everything, you know. But somebody takes all your money away, takes your apartment away. So what are you going to do? sit. Then there's dukkha. How do I eat? You know, what do I do? I mean, just put yourself in this situation and you will see how you're afraid of losing all this, what you don't think you're attached to, because, you know, it just is there. It's there because of your karma, and it probably will stay there because, I mean, your nature is quite generous. So, I mean, it won't go away. But if, then you would be completely at unease, huh? Just let these nasty Germans come and bomb your apartment. Oh, an earthquake happens, you know, and a whole of Bangkok, it all goes under the sea. Huh? Oh, next time you go into the lift, you know, I mean, it just rushes through, it runs through, you know, to the lowest floor, yeah, without any brakes attached to it. And you're squashed into this metal cabinet. These things all can happen. They might not happen, but they can happen, and we are afraid of them. Intuitively, we are afraid of these things. I mean, how? This is the first noble truth. Huh? Dukkha. I mean, we think only dukkha is pain and suffering. Oh, really unpleasant feelings. Nah. No, it's not. Everything what we do, and I invite you now to really look. If you take a glass to drink some water, why do you drink it? Because of dukkha. If you go to the toilet, why do you do it? Because of dukkha. Why do you wash yourself? Because of dukkha. Why do you feed yourself? Because of dukkha. I mean, how can you not see this dukkha? Huh? And you think you're in your thoughts. In German, there's a nice word for that. Hans Kuck in die Luft. You know, he always looks above, you know, he never sees on the ground. We think, this is like this, we think this is like this, you know, this is nice, that is nice, that is nice. And that makes us, it gives us the illusion, you know, everything is nice. The moment we take off our dark glasses, I mean, we suddenly, I didn't notice that. I mean, every step, I mean, you will encounter dukkha. How can you not encounter dukkha? Because it's there. I mean, the Lord Buddha teaches us, you know, I mean, even if you reach the maximum of humankind, I mean, we still have half of the time, remember this well, half of the time there's still dukkha. So, how is our satya? Why don't we catch that? Why don't we see it? Why do we make ourselves the illusion? You know, now I had a nice meal, you know, and then the rest of the day, it's just beautiful. It's the same thing happens, you know, when we have not such a nice meal, or we didn't get what we wanted, you know. I mean, the kilesas really make us really irritated. Because they didn't get what they wanted. So we have a bad day. Well, then something nice happens and we have a good day. And then something bad happens and we have a bad day. This doesn't work out and we have a bad moment, or a bad hour, or bad, two bad hours. And dukkha is there. It's the first noble truth. What is the second noble truth? The second noble truth is the cause of dukkha, our attachment, our will, our intention. The will to do something, the will to be or the will not to be. That causes dukkha. If you don't want anything, how can there be dukkha? Neither are we against this, nor are we for that. That's a state of non-dukkha. But we cannot do that. But the Lord Buddha tells us the third noble truth, that there is an end of dukkha. And then he gives us the path, it's the fourth noble truth, the path that leads to the end of dukkha. And what is that? Sila, Samadhi, Panya. Sila is keeping the five precepts, offer us the 227 rules? Samadhi is the ability to concentrate and to develop sati. I mean, when you look at the Eightfold Path, what it's often called, I mean, there it is, developing sati, samasati, samasamadhi, right view. That belongs to the sila. And then developing wisdom. What is wisdom? Is, for instance, to see the stukha that we constantly have. See these irritations. Why do I want to, why do I want to get up? That's the first thing. When I sit in meditation, why do I want to get up? Dukkha. Dukkha. Clearly. I mean, accept it. Accept the truth. It's the same thing, how to deal with anger. I mean, we don't want to see it. That's why it doesn't exist for us. We don't want to see dukkha. And that's why it doesn't exist for us. Because we don't want to see it. We hide it. And that's why we can't see it, because we hide it. We hide it behind our thoughts or behind our illusion. It's there all the time. Just look. Why do we do this? Why do we do that? Why do I get up? Then tell yourself, I'm getting up because of dukkha. Ah, okay, now we have a clear point during the day. The next time I sit in meditation or do walking meditation, why do I stop? Because of dukkha. Now we have next clear point. Why do I go and drink something? Because of dukkha. Why do I go and wash myself? Because of dukkha. Why do I brush my teeth? Because of dukkha. Because our breath feels so terrible, our mouth feels so terrible, that's why we brush our teeth. That's why we wash, because the irritation of the sweat, that starts to stink, and we feel completely uncomfortable. Dukkha. How can we miss that all the time? I mean, if we don't see it clearly, we don't have any motivation, to overcome dukkha. If you constantly think, this is fine, we live in the illusion of this is fine. Because nothing really terrible is happening. But if somebody takes all our belongings away from us, then we are in a fright. How can we not see that fear is dukkha? Fear of other people, criticizing us. Fear of other, of situations happening. Fear of this, fear of that, fear of that. And these things, like fear, like anger and greed are making us reborn. If we don't get rid, if we don't find, the causes for these fears, don't find the causes for the anger or for the greed, how can we not be reborn? We as a human being, we have enough greed and hate, to be reborn as a human being. That's why we are born here, and that's why we are living here in as a human being. But also the devas, are born because of greed and hate. And for the devas, it's even more difficult to see the dukkha. You remember in the biography, there was sometimes, one time, Lumpuman asked them, asked one of the devas, don't you have dukkha? And he said, yes, they do have dukkha. They do have dukkha. Because as long as they are born in these worlds, in all these three realms of existence, they have dukkha. How can it not be? The Lord Buddha teaches us. The only person who has no dukkha is an arahant. He is free of dukkha. He has eliminated the cause of dukkha. The cause of dukkha is avijja. Our intention, our will. Our will to live, our will to be somebody nice, that creates so much dukkha. Playing a certain role, so much dukkha. Trying to be, to befriend everybody, creates so much dukkha. Being something, just thinking of somebody, now I'm a good monk, That's a role that you play that creates a lot of dukkha, because you have a specific interpretation what a monk should be like. So you have to fulfill your own, you know. I mean, it's nobody. Nobody says you have to behave like this. It's your own thinking. It's your role that you're playing. Just like Shakespeare said, you know, in this life, you know, playing this role, in the next life, playing another role. One life you're the king, in the next role you're a beggar. Who knows what is coming? Because of not understanding this first noble truth really clearly, I mean, that's why we are so complacent. That's why we don't put any effort in it. I mean, yes, of course, you know, when you look from the outside, I mean, it's so comfortable to live the life of a monk. For a lay person, not yet. Well, just leave it for 2 or 3 years and you feel so comfortable. There's nothing. I mean, you will get used to it, you know, and you will see the beauty of it, the simplicity of life. I mean, you don't have to care about all these things. The food is brought, you know, whatever you need, you know, is given to you. You don't have to think about it, you know, do I need to sell this or do I need to sell that, you know. I mean, going on to internet, yeah. I mean, isn't that dukkha? I mean, you have to take care of the things that you own. Even we, as monks, have to take care of the things that we own. But we own very little. I mean, wherever we go, we can take all our belongings into one bowl. Now, ask the lay people, you know, can you take all your belongings into one suitcase? You know, I mean, we even give you a suitcase. And then, I mean, then you're free of a lot of things. Freedom, it's a freedom, you know, from needing this or needing that. And we believe that we need this. And we believe we need that because the whole world, you know, does the same thing. That's why we have to retract into the wilderness. That's why we have to seclude ourselves and be with the monks or just being in the forest, being alone, to see that we don't need all these things. We are happy, you know. Because we are practicing, we are keeping the 5 precepts or the 227 rules. That's why we are happy. But still, there, we have to become really more and more mindful to see this dukkha. Why am I doing this? You know, before you do something, that's a task. You know, that's your homework. Before I do something, I will ask myself, why do I do this? And then reflect about it carefully. Isn't it because of dukkha? Doing this, just doing a step. Except when you do walking meditation or sitting meditation. When you get up, you know, isn't it dukkha, you know, to lift this body up? Even if it's only 50 kilos, if it's 80 kilos, you know, I mean, you have to exert your strength, you know, to lift up this body. You have to exert strength to move this body. Isn't it? Is this sukha? Have you looked at it? Look at it closely and you will see. Yeah? I mean, each movement, yeah? I mean, it's so much dukkha. I mean, just, you know, if you just could close our eyes and wish we would be there, you know, that wouldn't be so much dukkha. That's why the devas have so little dukkha. Wherever they want to go, you know, within the blink of the eye, they are there. Not like us, you know. We have to buy a car, you know, and then get into the car and drive the car, you know, and take care of the car, you know, just like we have to take care of our condo and things like that. We have to take care of the dust in our, you know, in our condo and you know, clean it, you know, and all these things, you know, that are in our condo needs to be cleaned every once in a while. Otherwise the dust, you know, and you know, if it's too dusty, you know, I mean, we can't breathe. So we have to clean it. But we don't see it, you know. I mean, we think, you know, that is normal. That's why we don't understand dukkha. We think this is normal. I mean, feeding the body is normal, you know, taking care, relieving the body is normal, washing the body is normal, everybody does it around us. So, I mean, how can it be dukkha? But once we have our sati on it, you know, we see it's dukkha. How can it not be dukkha? I'm too lazy to, you know, take a shower every day. Sometimes I take only 3 or 4 days, you know, once in 3 or 4 days a shower. It doesn't need to. It's all effort. We have to exert this effort. But we don't see the dukkha because we live in our... we just live in our illusion. Now we live in the illusion, we live in a monastery. That's an illusion. We think this monastery is like this, or this is like this, or that is like that. We think this person is like this, and that person is like that. It's all an illusion. Where is this person? What is a monastery? What is a forest? What is this? See, experience it every moment fresh and clear. Then there is no monastery, and there is no people. There's just things happening. See the truth of dukkha. The more you understand dukkha, the more you're willing, the more energy you have to go. See the dukkha of the body. Why does it need to move? Why does it need to do this and do that? Why do we have to scratch? Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do that? Before you do something, as I said, this is your homework. Reflect carefully on why you're doing it. So that you understand this truth of dukkha. Otherwise, you just live in your illusion. That's nice. Yeah, I've got everything that I need, yeah? Yeah, if you're not greedy for this and not greedy for that, we can have a very comfortable life. Or we think we can have a comfortable life. But if you're practitioners, we have to look out. Why did the Lord Buddha teach us this first noble truth? Why do you think? Because we didn't see it. We can't see it. At the times, the Lord Buddha and other people didn't see the dukkha. They only thought, they needed to do this or they needed to do that or this or that, and be like this or be like that. So the Lord Buddha came up with this first noble truth. There's dukkha. Listen to it. He said, listen to it, people, there's dukkha. And the cause for our dukkha is our attachment. The attachment can be two forms. It can be wanting something or it can be the irritation, not wanting something. That's the attachment. Created by the will, the desire to be or the desire not to be. And that causes dukkha. If you don't have any desire, how can there be dukkha? And the path that leads to the end of dukkha is the path to get rid of desire. To understand greed and hate. The nature of greed and hate. Where is it? It's all in the body. All what we have to do is investigate this body. And we see. We see in the nature of it. We love all this beautiful or this nice food, we stuff it in, but we don't like what it comes out. Whatever, goes onto the body, be it clothes or be it food, that goes into or be it any kind of drink, we like. Whatever comes out of this body, be it sweat, be it poos, be it blood, be it shit and piss, we hate. We don't like to look at it. So this body, as I quite often told, is nothing than a factory that turns everything that is beautiful and pleasant into something that is disgusting. Who would buy the products of this factory? Can you imagine any human being buying the products of this factory? Spending money for it? But we don't see it. Because we never look at the products of our factory that we call body. We instantly wipe it away. When we sweat, we wipe it away. When we shit, we don't want to look at it. When we throw up, we don't even want to see it. We don't want to see what is coming out of the body. That is just as blinding, as we don't want to see all the dukkha. Why we do this and why we do that? in the body, you know, there's greed and hate. I mean, it is the pot for the flower of greed and hate. Once we destroy the pot, you know, where it can grow, I mean, the flower has to die. Both greed and hate has to die. The moment we destroy our illusion about that the body is something fantastic, you know, and all these views and opinions we have about the body, you know, and health, you know, what is health? You know, I mean, it's all made up. This is good, that is not good. This is good for the body. Who tells us so? If we don't have enough sati, you know, then of course we don't know what is good for the body and what is not good. If he has enough sati, I mean, we instantly know what is good for the body or not. I mean, we don't have to ask anybody, and we don't have to look up the internet, and we don't have to go to see the doctor, you know, that tells us, oh, you should do like this. I mean, for us as practitioners, you know, I mean, medicine is really not so important. We are there, you know. How can we not know if we look? How can we not know that there is dukkha if we care to look? But if we don't care to look, you know, I mean, we don't see it. We can't see it. Just like we keep, you know, in our cellar, we keep the light switched off. How can we know what is there in our cellar? In our cellar of the citta? Huh? Because we don't want to know, because all these scary things are there in our citta. The fear, you know, this fear, you know, where does this fear coming from? Where's the anger coming from? Where's the greed coming from? Have you ever looked at it? Before the anger, what came there? Dukkha. Before the greed, what came there? Dukkha. Before the fear arose, what came there? Dukkha. The better we understand the noble truth of dukkha, I mean, the easier it is for us to practice. See it. See it, really see it clearly. That's why I told you, was it 1 or 2 months ago? You know, I mean, note the things that you're doing. Note it, you know, now I'm going to the bathroom, now I'm taking a shit, now I'm eating something, now I'm drinking something. Note the things that you're doing. To see this. Why you're doing these things. Why you're doing what you're doing. No, it's all programmed, yeah? Who programmed it? The citta programmed it. So we have to unprogram it. Take all our views and opinions we have about this world and our body, you know, take it off. Destroy these opinions about the body. And you will not be attached to this body. But as long as you think, you know, oh, that food is healthy and that food is not healthy, this food is, you know, you will have a strong opinions about the body. Oh, that is nice and that is not nice. You still have strong opinions of that. I didn't say that you have to destroy the body. You have to just to destroy the opinions about the body. And that gets rid of greed and hate. See it, really. Look into it. I mean, the more we are aware, that's why sati plays such an important role in the Lord Buddha's teaching. Sati plays such an important role. If we are aware moment by moment, not only in our walking meditation or sitting meditation, but especially when we're getting up from it and doing this or doing that, that we have sati to see these things. But for most people, you know, I noticed most of the practitioners, I mean, they can sit perfectly, you know, perfectly still without being irritated for 1 or 2 hours in meditation, and then they come up, you know, and they're so completely mindless. They have no awareness when they get up. I mean, that kind of practice doesn't bring any fruit. I mean, then we just sit, you know, for having, you know, some pleasant feelings. Then we just, you know, instead of, you know, some people switching on the TV, you know, or going to shows or watching sports, you know, I mean, we just sit in meditation. Just having, you know, it's probably better than anything else, but we just are there for the pleasant feelings. Because once we get out of meditation, I mean, we are as unmindful as ever. We are not aware of what is going on around us. So you certainly have to change that. Otherwise, you won't know. You won't see the dukkha, that the driving force. You know that throws you from one birth to death to the next birth and death. You have to experience this driving force. And in order to experience this driving force, you have to put yourself in a situation where you're afraid of. In a situation that is not comfortable. In a situation where you have to experience cold. Or where you experience heat. Or where you experience lots of discomfort. So if you don't throw yourself in these situations, I mean, how can you see that force? You understand that? So, I mean, the importance is when you get out of samadhi, getting out of walking meditation or sitting meditation, be extremely aware of what is going on while you do this activity or that activity and why you do it. I mean, I often advise you to have a short reflection in the evening after one of your meditations about what happened during the day. What did I do? When I brushed my teeth, what did I think about it? When I ate, what did I think about it? Or what were the feelings? Huh? When I did this, what were the feelings? What were the thoughts? When I did that, you know, I did this, I did this, I encountered this person, you know, what did I feel? Huh? Without this kind of reflection, how can you ever know what is going on in your life? You just work, you know, it is just like your program robot, you know, more or less. That just works on its own, you know. It has a program, boop, 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 and it walks here, boop, boop, boop. You know, he sees that, you know, because he sees that, you know, he does that. Because he noticed this, he does that, yeah. I mean, you want to be a robot for the rest of your life and the next lives and the next million lives? Or do you want to be actually in control? That's a question. You know, you should ask yourself. What makes you do the things that you are doing? One of the basic questions. I mean, no matter if you are monks or if you are lay people, I mean, we should do this reflection in the evening. And the more detailed we do this reflection, when I woke up, what did I think? When I was stressing myself, what did I think or what did I feel? When I was going to, you know, to the bathroom, what did I think? What did I feel? Huh? Very detailed. I mean, it takes, in the beginning when you train yourself, it takes you maybe half an hour, maybe even an hour to go through the whole day. But if you don't do that, you will not see. You will be blind. You think you do things correctly, you know, and that's how the kilesas lure you into thinking, you know, everything is fine, my life is just perfect. The moment you start doing this reflection, I mean, you suddenly see all the things that go wrong. Huh? How can you not see? I mean, there is some awareness of you, you know, I mean, you developed enough awareness, you know, to notice these things. And why don't you want to do it? Why do you forget to do it each day? Because the kilesas don't want that we look what they're doing. That's why they make you forget it. Are you still doing it? Huh? Can I ask you? Alex, are you still doing it? Yeah?
Yesterday was long. It was 45 minutes.
Huh? Pierre?
I forgot.
Yes? And Richard also forgot. Huh?
The short one, but it's constant.
No, I mean, you should really set yourself apart, you know, and go through the whole day. Not only, you know, from one moment to the next moment. I mean, really, you know, in the evening, you know, just after you're chanting, you know, okay, from morning to evening. I mean, if you do it every day, you know, if you do it like you said, I mean, it would be very easy, you know, to go. You can go within 2 minutes. I mean, just the whole day, you know, you're placed in front of your eyes. If you really do it correctly. And then you see if you do it correctly. They just, you know, make you believe that you do it. Because they don't want to. Nobody, you think any kind of politician, you know, looks, you know, wants us to look, you know, very, very carefully what they do? No. Nobody, you know, whoever has evil in mind, you know, doesn't want anybody to look on what he's doing. So the Kilesas certainly don't like it. And that's why you forget it. And that's why why you don't make it, or why you don't make it carefully enough. And that is especially also, you know, this is my big advice, you know, for lay people. Do it. Each day. Yeah, you can ask.
Half day at a time?
Huh?
Can it be like half day at a time, or does it have to be the whole day? Because the whole day is like...
I mean, in the beginning, just make it half day. I mean, once you get used to it, as I said, you know, I mean, after 1 year I was training that, you know, within 2 minutes, you know, I had the whole day. I mean, I didn't have to think, you know, I just saw it. And I instantly knew, that there was some problem, there was some problem, there was some problem, there was some problem. But in the beginning, it takes hours, you know. Yeah, yes. I mean, if you do it twice a day, you know, it's perfectly fine. But do it. And then you will see a lot of things that you have never seen. I promise you that. And see, you know, I mean, do the best, you know, when you're down there in your condo, you know. Meditate, I mean, at least 6 hours a day. Just to keep up, you know, a certain level of sati. On some days I may have 4 hours, you know, but on most days, you know, I mean 6 hours. The minimum should never be less than 4 hours. Can you do that?
Not consecutively, sometimes.
No, not consecutively. You know, 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening, and when you do 6 hours, 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon, and 2 hours in the evening.
Probably now it's easier, because like I said, it seems much
easier. See, now you understand the reason why I pushed you? You start accepting it? Yeah. And you still see the need, you know, to come for a longer time? To experience the cold, you know, to understand the dukkha of cold? To understand the dukkha, you know, of fear?
Yeah. Now I know it's really dukkha.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know that I had dukkha, you know. I mean, I just, until I started to look. And that's only what I can advise you, you know. Do your meditation. But, you know, I mean, when you go through Bangkok, notice what you're doing. Be aware, you know, when you walk. Be aware that you're reading the signs. Be aware that you're looking at something. Oh, now I'm looking at a watch, or now I'm looking at a dress, now I'm looking at this bakery, or now I'm looking at this food, you know. What does come in my mind when I look at this? Why do I need to look at it? Why do I look at this person? Why do I look at that person? You understand that? That is the task of you. It's difficult.
It's more disturbing now with more sati. Then I know now that. Because I've always been like that, but without the sati, I didn't know, like I said, music.
That's why I said, yeah. That's why I said sati is so important. It's the eye opener, and you have to train that, and that's where the reflection, you know, shows you where your sati went, where you still have sati, and And then suddenly a gap of 2 hours. Huh? What did I do in this 2 hours? You didn't even notice. Yeah? You just did some things. Okay, in the next year you'll come for at least 2 months consecutive. Huh? Well, we have to step it up. I mean, 3 weeks, you know, is a little bit. You know, it's 2 months. Yeah, I mean, see, the Kilesas are afraid, aren't they? It's not you who is afraid. It's the Kilesas who are completely terrified of this. Huh? Okay. So, do you have any questions? Okay, then you have any questions? Do you see the dukkha in your life? No.
Sometimes I see it clearly in the body to look after it, and everything is dukkha, and I just want to get back to the heart, and don't have to worry about anything.
Don't just do it, you know, to go back to the heart, to not to have any worry, anything. Then you have to do investigation to see where the dukkha is coming from.
That is a question, actually. When I felt I could do that, just let go of everything and just go to the heart, then I was thinking, now am I just avoiding things? But I thought, no, it's okay, because I have a set time for investigating.
Yeah, that's okay. As long as you don't, you know. And I mean, each one of you should know. I mean, you should have developed enough sati, you know, to be able to investigate at least an hour a day, you know, just body investigation, just cause body investigation. If you have more sati, you know, I mean, do 2 hours. And the rest of it, you know, do just samadhi. And you have to step up with your investigation. You have to do much more investigation, you know, and less samadhi.
I'm not sure if I've been tricked, but I have a good idea that the investigation is it's running out of energy. I'm running out of sati.
Yes, you are running out of sati, but you know it shouldn't be more difficult for you to get sati.
No.
Yeah. I mean, within 2 or 3 hours, you should have enough sati, you know, to do 2 hours of investigation. Yeah.
I do wonder sometimes, because sometimes I really feel I can't go on. I'm just thinking, but then I do go on, and then I do see things more clearly.
No, I mean, sometimes I mean, the kilesas are interfering with this work, you know, that they tell you, you don't have any energy, you don't have enough sati, you know, to go on. Yeah. Yeah, they say that quite quickly because they fear the results of this work. I mean, if you set your mind and if you know, if you sit in samadhi and you're quite concentrated, I mean, then you can do an investigation as well. But of course the kilesas hate it, you know. I mean, people forget that they have to do investigation. Huh? I mean, Kumbhara has to do investigation. I mean, in the beginning she starts with the reflection. But, you know, then later on she has to do at least an hour of investigation. Just the same thing. I mean, the more we understand dukkha, the more we feel the point, you know, the pressure. We want to get out of it. Not thinking, you know, not like in the last talk, you're not thinking, you know, next life will be better. I mean, it's good. Of course, you know, we have everything that we need. But the moment somebody takes everything away from us, just think about this thought, you know. War comes, you know, and, you know, army marches in, you know, takes everything away from us, it puts you into slavery. How do you feel? Yeah, huh? Well, but how do you feel? It's not, you know, of course it's your karma, but you know, you will accept it, but you won't feel happy. No. I mean, you will feel quite unhappy. I mean, just putting you freely on your own will, you know, there, you know, makes it so tough. Now think about somebody telling you every moment, you know, what you have to do. And you don't get the permission, to drink when you want and you eat when you want. Huh? Now you do it on your own and it's already difficult. And then somebody, constantly commanding you around and telling you what to do. I mean, how can that not be? Don't think, it's my karma, I can accept it. Now, these kind of karmas, there's hardly anybody who can accept it. We like to be independent, we like to be free, we like to do things on our own. So, if you're forced to, why do people race, if they're suppressed, be it by the communist government or by another country? They always, sooner or later they will raise up against their oppressors. Huh? Because they don't like it. Huh? How can we like it? Don't say you will like it. Huh? We're just living in another illusion, yeah. Huh? Break it down. Yeah, of course the Kilesa still tell you, I don't have enough concentration, so let's do some more samadhi. Because it's nicer, because you don't have to think about it, when you sit there, you're just happy. Understand that? Okay.
In terms of setting a time though, like I do with samadhi,
yes.
Is that
yes. Idea? No, I told you, even for that in the beginning, you have to set yourself a time. Now for 2 hours, I will just do investigation. Not just like you feel like. Yeah? It's the same thing. Yeah? Now I'm doing 2 hours of samadhi. Now I'm doing 2 hours of investigation. Walking, doing chankram. It's very, very interesting to investigation while walking chankram. And also, both of you, you do have to start. Huh? That will also lead to some calm. Hmm? Doing some serious investigation, investigation, wisdom develops samadhi, it's one of the books, Lungta Mahabua wrote, So, some people don't get that easily calm, but once they have enough concentration, to do some serious investigation, and this reflection is part of this investigation. It's already, it's already the start. The next thing is, just to put up one of the objects, into your inner eye. Or just thinking about your life. From the moment you were born, I think back, 1 year ago, and then think about all these unpleasant situations that happened to you. And then 2 years ago, all the unpleasant situations, until you come back to your birth. That's a reflection. As long, think, you get a fatal illness, a doctor tells you within 6 months you will die a very painful death. Wow. And then we feel very happy about it. Huh? Put yourself really into the situation. Just came from the doctor, he tells you die of cancer, of the most stomach cancer. 6 months time. Oh, yeah. And then deal with the situation. Oh, Bear is in her apartment, gets a stroke and nobody sees her. She's like, lying on the floor, struggling. Nobody cares, because it's in a condo, other people wouldn't even notice her. And then she's lowing to die because nobody is going to come and help her. Put yourself in these situations that you're afraid of. That will get you an understanding of the fear. The Lord Buddha advises, Marana's investigation of death. Maranasati, yeah? Being aware, that we are going to die. He said it's very fruitful to do this, huh? So do it. The Lord Buddha is our foremost teacher. There's none that can be compared to the Lord Buddha. But none. It's a pity that we didn't have the vasana, the parami to be with him, or if we have been with him that we didn't that we didn't have the strength to pull it through. Huh? Might have been, you know, at the times of the Lord Buddha, you know, but you know, just didn't listen to him. Just thought, ah, that's so nice, you know. The Lord Buddha gave us some safety, you know. Let's do it in another life. And now we don't have his teaching, his the clearness, and his, I mean, his appearance, his strength, his power, his energy. It's the same thing, you know, when you are. When you have been together with Lungta for 15 years, I mean, his strength, I mean, he just was radiating. Huh? And then suddenly, you know, Lungta has passed away. I mean, you lose your orientation. The strength, the energy, you know, that I mean, radiated from this virtuous man, you know. I mean, it's suddenly not there anymore. And then all the kilesas, you know, that were always afraid of this energy suddenly come out. Yeah, I can do this, I can do that, I can become a teacher, I can become this, I find my own monastery, you know, and then, I do this, you know, I collect money, you know, all these worldly things. And as long as you've been with Lungta, I mean, his energy or his radiating energy always brought you back to back. I saw him, you know, and he was just an example of practice. I haven't seen anybody else, you know, who was such an example of practice than Lungta Mahabodhi. I mean, he himself, you know, wherever he goes, you know, he was just radiating. Yeah? You should practice. And he had no other interest for his students than to practice. Okay, understand that? I'll close the talk. It's enough.